The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max's NXT Review. That's right, we are bringing you the NXT from August 1st, 2017. And of course, we are brought to you also by the W2Mnet.com, the place where you go find all your wrestling needs, lots of great wrestling podcasts and written content, plus a lot more. Hey, and if you want to go find out all that stuff on maybe Apple Podcasts or wherever you get all your podcast information or stuff from, make sure you go check out the W2M Network. That's a place that you go and you get all that great stuff in one nice package. If you just want to find out about us, make sure you go do a search at Wrestling to the Max anywhere. Plus, you can also go find everything over there at YouTube as well. And you'll get all the great content. So plenty of places to go find it. We appreciate everybody that's already done that, rate and reviewed and all that great stuff. I am, of course, your host tonight, Gary Vaughn, and along with me, special guest hosting with me, Mr. Harry Broadhurst. What's going on, Harry?
What's up, Gary? Been a while since we've been on a show together on here.
I know, man. And, you know, it's so awesome to have you. And yeah, I think it's been, I can't even tell you when it was, because me and you did an awesome show on your podcast, Wrestling Unwrapped, when we talked some, you know, ECW, and we got some things going on there. We had a great time. So yeah, man, it's been a while, just me and you. And that's also dangerous, Harry. I think we could probably burn this place down together.
Only if Kurt Angle comes to stalk us afterwards, 2K18 style.
Oh, God. That could get real creepy really fast. Oh, boy. But yeah, I mean, if anybody listening right now, if you haven't checked out Harry on his other great podcast, make sure you go check out Wrestling Unwrapped. That's the basically most awesome podcast when it comes to reviewing all your old content, you know, old school. And, of course, some great indie content going on right now. I mean, him and Patrick Ketza do an excellent job over there, and I want to make sure that you guys know about that. If you haven't checked it out already, trust me, great show. I love it. So go check it out yourself. Harry, we've got an interesting NXT to jump into tonight, though. We've got some actual, to me, great content. I think there's some stuff in this show to really kind of dive into. So why don't we go ahead and get this thing started? You ready to rock?
Let's do it. NXT, August 2nd.
All right, let's do it. Let's talk about the fact that we had our first start of the show begin with Johnny Gargano. That's right. He is back and ready to go. He gets in the ring and faces off against Raul Mendoza. And boy, I mean, they put on a nice little showing here. They have lots of energy. You get a chance to see both these guys mix it up in that high energy format. And of course, you know, lots of great holds, lots of great movements with these guys. I mean, it is pretty fun to watch, if you ask me. We do have Gargano winning in a decent time. They get some good time here on this show. But I think both guys come out of this looking pretty good. And of course, you know, Gargano's going to get the love. He is Johnny Wrestling, of course. So I really enjoyed this first match here, Harry.
Yeah, I didn't get around to watching NXT to today because I usually watch Lucha Underground live on Wednesdays. So NXT usually gets watched on the network on a delay because I'm able to do so, whereas Lucha Underground has to be watched as it's happening because the El Rey network doesn't have the on-demand capabilities that the WWE network does. And Robert Taylor, who hosts a show on this network as well, MMA to the Max, was telling me about the fact that he was really surprised that this match was as back and forth as it was. And I have to say, after watching it, I agree with him to the extent that this is the beginning of Johnny Gargano's singles push in NXT. And I'm a little bit surprised that they had him go almost, I wouldn't say 50-50, but I'd say probably 65-35 with the guy who's not really done much of anything in the WWE or NXT in Raul Mendoza. That being said, the match was impressive. I enjoyed it. And it was really cool to see the Gargano escape used as Gargano's singles finish as well.
Yeah, that was really neat. And, you know, to touch on that point that you made there about the fact that this was a lot more offense from Mendoza than expected, I think that's actually a really good thing. And I walked away not really, you know, remembering a lot about Mendoza, a little bit here and there from the CWC. But I think what was kind of cool about it was, is now after seeing get in there and really have some good moments with Johnny Gargano, I want to see more of this guy. And that's, to me, one of the biggest things I took away from this. We know all about, you know, Johnny Gargano and all his skills, and this is a great singles push I think they're going about to get him into. But I'm so interested now in Raul Mendoza and seeing where they can take him. I don't know how much time he's going to get on TV, but if he gets more, I will be happy. I think he showed us something good out of this match. And, you know, talking about Gargano, I do want to know, Harry, how you feel about what direction they're possibly going to take him. I know they have high hopes for him, but I just got to know from your what you think about, just in general, what direction they're going to take him.
Well, I'm going to be the first person to admit I have something of a personal bias when it comes to Johnny Gargano, because I grew up in the part of the country, I'm in the part of the country where Gargano made his name. I'm in Northeast Ohio, which is where Gargano made his name with promotions like Prime Wrestling, and I guess more specifically with a promotion called AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling, where he became a standout star in that promotion as well. So, to me, seeing Gargano have the national success that he's having right now doesn't surprise me at all, because I know what he's capable of. That being said, I unfortunately think Johnny's going to find himself falling into something of a holding pattern over the course of the next couple of months. And the reason I say that is because I think they're going to want to do more going down the road. There's only so much you can do with Gargano until Ciampa comes back early next year from his knee injury.
Yeah, and I can understand that. You know, and there's been some theories out there that maybe those guys don't revisit that, not for a long time possibly, because there could be a situation where maybe Ciampa gets called up to the main roster, maybe even Johnny Gargano. We don't know. I mean, it will be a long holding pattern, like you're saying, if they do decide to wait this thing out just so they can continue their feud. But, I mean, overall, I think Gargano is going to be on the upward swing here. And, I mean, really, it's not hard to get behind a guy like him, right? He's kind of like what we used to see with, you know, we know him as Matt Sydal now, but Evan Bourne when he was with WWE.
That is a phenomenal comparison, comparing him to Matt Sydal without the personal problems.
Yeah, exactly. It's so amazing to me to see what situation, you know, these guys have found themselves in, where, you know, Matt was so great when he was doing all his basically lower card stuff in WWE, and it made him such a fan favorite without him even really trying hard. It's almost like the fans just got behind him. And then also now you're looking at a guy that, you know, has a great catchy name, which Johnny Wrestling, right? So that's something you could chant all night long. You love the energy that he brings, the technical skills that he has in the ring. He has a lot going for him. So if he does get stuck in a holding pattern, it's going to be kind of a shame. But on the other hand, I get it, and I understand you can only do so much. Paul and I kind of talk about this, Harry, a lot. NXT, it's so main event heavy when it comes to the big stars, right? I mean, you got Bobby Roode, you got McIntyre going into this, Tommy, and you got, you know, just there's a ton of guys in that main event spot. So Evan Bourne's not going to reach that. There's just no way, unless somehow, some way he impresses Hunter. Oh, I'm sorry, Gargano. I don't know what I'm talking about. Gargano, you're right. So I think that, you know, unless they were to add some kind of mid-card title, he's just going to be doing something.
I was just about to say that. I think the only way that he's going to get an opportunity in the main event scene inside of NXT is either if him and Ciampa do eventually get to a blow-off, they blow the doors off of the building and they don't give anybody a choice but to give them the main event levels that they don't both deserve, or is, as you said, if their secondary title comes into play in NXT and they have the opportunity to spotlight that. I'd almost like to see kind of like the old NWA TV title with the 15-minute television time limits.
I'm all about the time limits. I think that'd be the smartest thing. If NXT, you know, brought something like that, not only would I be happy, I think Jim Ross would be doing flips. You always hear him, you know, complain and talk about the time limit stuff. But I think that would be really cool. Will they do it? I don't know. I don't know if they consider that too wrestling. So who knows?
Another big thing, too, is I think the fact that NXT only has an hour a week kind of prevents the development in some cases of some of these guys, because of the fact that you're only getting television time every 2-3 weeks. in some cases, it helps them because an act like Enzo and Cass got super stale on the main roster real quick because of the fact that you were seeing it every week. Whereas in NXT, you were only getting it once or twice a month, so it didn't lose its freshness.
Yeah, no, that is true. That's very true. I mean, there's a lot, you know, when you bring that to the table. So, you know, NXT is all about youth. It's all about development, and it's also all about bringing something that, you know, can keep people energized and excited about. And that's the holding problem here is you can only do so much. The time, basically the time limits that they already have kind of construct and kind of can skew some of those guys and hold some people back from doing everything that they wanted to or could do. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what, you know, we have with Johnny Gargano moving forward. And, you know, the guy I mentioned, Raul Mendoza, my eyes on him. I'm looking forward to seeing if they use him at all or if he's just another guy in the background. So, all right, well, let's talk about something else that's interesting on the show. And, you know, of course, this leads up to a big tag team match at, you know, Brooklyn here for NXT. And that is the Authors of Pain. That's right. They will be facing off against Sanity at that NXT Brooklyn show. But what we get here on this NXT episode is the Authors of Pain having a little time on the video package where you have Paul Ellering talking about Sanity and saying that they showed their sanity by attacking the Authors of Pain. And he says that, you know, the monsters are real, letting Sanity know about, you know, who these guys are that they just attacked. So, you know, this is interesting, I think, for the fact that, you know, this is not a lot, you know, especially on this episode here, Harry. They don't really showcase the tag teams a lot, but at least we get a little something here. I don't know. It was kind of weird, though. Ellering kind of took his time in this promo. It was kind of eerie.
Yeah, the outdoor raining effect kind of added to the ambiance of the promo to me. But at the same time, as much as I may like Killian Dane and the Axeman, or Alexander Wolfe as he's known in NXT, as much as I may like their work, and I think they're doing a fantastic job with Sanity, that isn't the team for Sanity I want to see going after the tag titles. I would much rather see Eric Young involved in this match rather than Alexander Wolfe.
I can't say that I'm not far from that. Wolf is okay, but yes, the leader of the pack, right? Eric Young, the guy that we thought was going to be all over the place, he's kind of little to be seen as of late. And yeah, he's just gone. I don't know if his passport, you know, or something got messed up and Canada won't let him go. I don't know. But at least we do know that, you know, Sanity's still around. I mean, Nikki Cross is still here, still being on TV, but just no Eric Young. So maybe that they've got other plans for Eric Young, and maybe that they kind of figured this Sanity tag team just looks better with two giant guys compared to having one really small guy and one huge guy. Maybe that's what they're going for.
I don't see Sanity taking the tag team titles off of the Authors of Pain, though. I don't think they're going to transport the belts from one heel tag team to another.
I agree with you. I mean, think about this. If they're not going to give it to Heavy Machinery, of course, you know, they got time. But I just don't see them giving it to Sanity either. I think the Authors of Pain, I mean, they bring a lot to the table. They are so dominant. I don't know if you want to do that right now and get rid of the titles off them.
I can think of who might be the likely contenders to the tag team titles, especially when you consider what goes down a little bit later on tonight. We'll talk more about that in a bit.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll get into that. But yeah, so there's some other great stuff that we need to talk about, too, on this show. The Authors of Pain, of course, are fan favorites, and I'm really kind of curious to see how that goes down. But we need to talk about the women's title. That's right. The women's championship match will be taking place at Brooklyn, and that'll be, of course, between Asuka and Ember Moon. On this NXT, we had Asuka basically cut a promo in the ring talking about the fact that she has beaten Ember Moon already. And so, of course, you know, that means that Ember Moon has to come out and face off against Asuka and look at her in the eye and say, you know, I'm ready, you know, and you're not. So, you know, that's why you don't want to face me, because you are not ready. Asuka, of course, has a little slappy, happy moment there and slaps Ember in the face, causes a brawl. Asuka gets the upper hand, but in the end, as Asuka celebrates with her title, Ember hits an eclipse. So there you go. Ember Moon does stand tall at the end of this, even though it looked like for a minute there it was not going to be the case. Is this a message being sent, Harry? Is this something that maybe we could be seeing in the near future, maybe at Brooklyn? And what did you think about this, you know, conversation between Asuka and Ember Moon?
It probably should have happened in Dallas. It will happen in Brooklyn. Asuka's undefeated streak comes to an end, and she ends up leaving NXT, going up to the main roster after SummerSlam, as Ember Moon takes the NXT Women's title. I think that they're going to get ready for the next generation of NXT women, and we kind of see the next generation of NXT women being built a little bit on later on in the episode with Sonya Deville.
Yeah, you're right on that, and we're definitely going to talk about that. So, I mean, before we jump into that, I think what's interesting here is the fact that you have Ember Moon, who came in and has yet to really reach the potential I think that they expected her to reach because of injury. You know, that's been a big problem for her. Ember Moon has not been able to be the healthiest person. But she is coming into a situation where she gets to beat somebody who has a huge name. Of course, Asuka moving to the main roster makes all the sense in the world. I think that's going to be a great deal. But, you know, looking forward here and seeing what's going to happen, how do you feel about Ember Moon? I just got to know, because there's a lot of people that are still unsure about her because they haven't seen a lot of her.
See, I find myself at the exact opposite end of that spectrum, because not only am I a big fan of Shimmer, I'm also a big fan of a company based out of Texas called Anarchy Championship Wrestling, ACW. And that's where Ember Moon, the artist formerly known as the wrestling goddess Athena, got her start. It was in those Texas independent wrestling promotions where she broke her teeth into the business against girls like Jessica James, Rachel Summerlin, and Portia Perez down there. So that's where I got to know the wrestling goddess Athena, who's now known in NXT as Ember Moon. So I'm completely well aware of what she's capable of, and I'm looking forward to that, seeing them let her go full on out. You'll notice, too, that they did not at all mention the finish from the match at TakeOver Dallas either, with the fact that it took Asuka having to resort to using the referee to knock Ember off of the top rope to prevent the eclipse from happening in Dallas. I think that Asuka tries something similar in Brooklyn. The referee is able to navigate out of the way of such, and the eclipse lands to give Ember Moon the title.
Yeah, you know, I just thinking about that, I guess I kind of missed that a little bit there. So that is kind of interesting. You know what? Actually, what they talked about it on the commentary a little bit, you know, about how the NHL and all that, they don't, it's kind of bad business to touch the trophy before, you know, you actually earn it. So that was very interesting, you know, the whole thing going down there at the end. I think that was much appreciated. And to kind of see Ember Moon mouth, you know, I'm going to wait until I actually get it, you know. I thought that was a nice move. I really, really did. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think that this is going to be something that we'll all be sitting there post NXT Brooklyn and say, wow, what a match. And I didn't expect everything out of this. And I know you, Harry, you've watched a lot of Athena, of course, Ember Moon. And guys like me who don't have that deep history with her, don't know a lot about her, I think that she's a great talent, but I cannot wait till she turns on the throttle and the jets and they go full force in that match. I know they will. And Asuka's one of, you know, she's one that's going to put all her stuff in and make sure she goes out with a bang, I think, at this NXT, especially being the one that will probably end her time in NXT. So,
well,
looking forward.
Yeah. Consider what happened with Sami Zayn when he left NXT at TakeOver Dallas when he took on Shinsuke Nakamura as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or not TakeOver Dallas, the NXT TakeOver from the WrestleMania prior, excuse me.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's exactly, I think what's going to happen here with this women's match too. So, and Asuka going to the main roster, it's going to be really, really interesting for me from the fact that she is like Nakamura. She does have that language barrier, but I think Nakamura has a little bit better handle on the English language. I'm waiting to see wherever she goes, if it's SmackDown or wherever, how they handle that, right? Because, you know, different story when it comes to the main roster.
I would also worry from a sheer standpoint that she doesn't have the charisma that Nakamura does either, but in fairness, I don't think there's hardly anyone on the main roster that has the charisma Nakamura does.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what?
Kevin Owens, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Owens is a big name that has tons of personality. Besides that, I mean, you're right. There's not a lot of people that just bring in that into the room with them when they walk in, right? So, I mean, it's going to be really curious. And I think what Asuka brings to the table is just that creepy factor. Just the way she smiles and just kind of like, I'm going to kill you kind of thing. So I can't wait for that. I just can't wait till she looks across the ring at like Charlotte or something like that and they get scared.
I could almost see them playing, even though she doesn't have the same body type, I could almost see them playing kind of that dominant heel role that was intended for somebody like Karma, Awesome Kong.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. So, I mean, there's a lot remember, of...
Because if you remember when Karma first started debuting, she would come down to the ring, and then you would see people like the Bellas, like Kelly, looking absolutely scared shitless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's been a while, but I do remember that, and... Just imagine that with Asuka. I mean, it's very possible. And I think it would be the best decision they ever made, especially for a talent that really cannot sit there and carry a conversation on, right? You need something else in the ambience that she can bring. And I think she can bring that. I really do. She may not be as in your face as Nakamura, but I think that she can bring that subtlety. And then when you watch her violence in the ring, that's all you need. It's end of story. I think that'd be, it's going to be great. So. Really looking forward to that. But, you know, let's move on past this because I do want to go ahead and talk about, you know, something that you mentioned, Harry. We'll going to skip a little ahead here because I think that this is going to be something that we were really wanting to delve into. And that is the future of this women's division in NXT. So we'll kind of skip ahead here and talk a little bit about Sonya Deville and Jenna Venable. Sorry, I don't know why I cannot talk. But, yeah, in this match, go ahead.
Bemel, Jenna Von Bemel.
Bemel, okay, thank you. Yeah, so Jenna Bemel, she's Cyborg, right? Is that Cyborg?
Her ring name is Jenna Von Muscles down in Florida, if that helps. That's easier.
Well, who was talking about Cyborg? Is that her nickname? I cannot remember.
No, Cyborg is a UFC fighter, Chris Santos.
Santos, okay. They were saying some of Cyborg, and I was like, I've never heard her being called that. Okay. So Cyborg's the one that they're talking about.
Becky Lynch.
Yes. Okay, there's that conversation.
And the comparison there was for Sonya Deville, because Sonya Deville has an MMA background as well. When she tried out for Tough Enough, for those of you who don't know, Sonya Deville comes from Tough Enough. She was under her real name Daria Brunetto or something like that. Baronetto or something like that. Anyways, she was an MMA fighter before she became a professional wrestler. So that's where the comparisons to somebody like a Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler, or a Chris Cyborg Santos, who's attempting to toss her hat into the ring for the world of professional wrestling as well.
Yeah, wow. It seems like we're starting to get that trend, right, with former MMA fighters, especially in the female division, trying to get back and look at this wrestling thing, right? And there's more of them seeming to come down the pipeline. So this may be a kind of a pipeline for WWE from UFC or other MMA organizations. But yeah, Sonya Deville, he does face off against Bimmel. And in this match, I mean, you see Sonya kind of coming off cocky, you know, talking to smack and just really kind of just being cocky. And she does this against someone who's, you know, taller than her and, you know, someone that you would think that would be a pretty decent matchup with Sonya. But really, this is all about Sonya Deville, pretty much for the whole thing. I mean, you know, Bimbo gets a few things here and there, but it's really mostly about Sonya. And she ends this thing with a triangle armbar and wins this match. They're really trying to do something with Sonya here, and I don't know what they have going on for Jenna, but
I think Jenna was just kind of one-time things, and I'm glad that they edited the crowd from this match, because apparently there were some very ignorant chants towards Jenna during the course of this match about her body type. Yeah, you guys wish you could be with a chick that looks like Jenna. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, Sonya definitely appears to be kind of the woman they're looking to for the future of the NXT Women's Division. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see Ember Moon take the title off of Asuka at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and I wouldn't also be surprised to see Ember Moon's first challenger as NXT Women's Challenger, as NXT Women's Champion, end up being Sonya Deville.
Yeah, and that would be a definitely change of just style for that women's division, because really, if you think about it, this was not about that MMA style or just that aggressive kind of striking and submission type movesets with the females. You think Charlotte, you think of Bayley, you think of people that have held that title, even Asuka to an extent. They're just different. Sonya kind of brings something different to the table. So with her possibly being an NXT Women's Champion, that would be a great dynamic because it would be so different compared to all the other former champions. I think it would be a good deal. And they seem to be really behind her. I'm just a little surprised that they are so behind her. I'm really curious. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, as far as the whole thing about her, I don't necessarily know that she's going to end up being champion, because I think there are other people down there right now that are in line that will end up being more deserving of runs with it, such as Nikki Cross and even Ruby Riott to an extent as well. But I also feel like I was really surprised that they didn't have Sonya announced for the Mae Young Classic, because I feel like that could have been a place for her to make a statement as to far as her abilities going into future usage with NXT as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true, too. I was a little bit surprised on my end. I thought that there was a few names that probably could have made that whole tournament. I think what they have going here is, you know, they feel comfortable enough with her. I think that they see what they've seen, and they want to see other talent. That's maybe why Sonya didn't make that tournament. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know that, you know, she would get that title right away. I think that Sonya would definitely be down the line, but I think she'd be formidable champion just maybe for a month or two, right? Someone to play off of a Ruby Riott, right? Because Ruby Riott's, you know, this baby face that a lot of people are getting behind, or they want to get her, you know, a lot of fan favorite support. So I think it'd be a great heel for,
Absolutely, I could see that. And also, I'd like to see kind of an angle where they kind of do that same thing. Like you mentioned, the fact that that Sonya was very confident, almost to the point of arrogant with the match against Jenna tonight. I wouldn't be surprised to end up seeing it come back one time where she tries to get that way with the wrong person and ends up getting caught with one, similar to what happened to Anderson Silva before.
Oh yeah, that's true. That would, like,
she gets overconfident against somebody and they just catch her with a kick or something and knock her clean out for a victory.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and I would think that that might, I'm trying to think who would do that. Like, who's got a strike that is so powerful that would just surprise her? That's, you know, I don't know that I've seen enough of Nikki Cross that she has something. That's true. Ruby, the Enziguri that she does have is pretty darn awesome. So that could be a great way to do it. And I think that would be so much fun, because the way, like, if she continues this cockiness, that's got to be the way that they switch the title. If they were even having a title, if just a feud in general, that would be a great way to, you know, have that feud either end or continue even stronger. So I don't know. I think that there's a lot more here. I think we're going to have a lot more great talent joining this NXT roster when it comes to the women's division, and I think it's going to get better. I think, you know, Harry had a great point. At NXT Brooklyn, you're going to see the end of a kind of an era, and the new one's going to be moving right in. So let's talk about Bobby Roode. That's right. Yeah, the champion of NXT. And he, of course, you know, is sitting down and having a little interview and talking about, guess who? Roderick Strong. And really basically says he's kind of like those trailer folks, you know, just hanging out and playing the lottery, you know, hoping to win and get big. And, you know, he played the lottery and lost. And he'll probably try to play the lottery again. But, you know, of course, he just did not give him a lot of love there. And then, of course, he asked, you know, Roode about McIntyre, the next guy to face him at NXT Brooklyn. And he says, well, you know what? We'll just talk next week, sit in the ring and have that conversation. So we got that to look forward to. I'm kind of really excited about seeing those two guys sit in the ring. But this thing kind of revolves around Roderick Strong here in this little promo, where Roderick Strong does try to attack Bobby Roode and is unsuccessful because they have a lot of agents and people holding him back from that attack, and Roode does leave. And then we have William Regal get involved and basically tell him he's being unprofessional and he doesn't need to handle things like this. And Roderick Strong begs and pleads for Bobby Roode, but Regal says, sorry, it's McIntyre's shot. His hands are tied. So that's what we got out of this promo. What did you take away from all this, Harry?
I took away the look in Regal's face as the promo is coming to an end there that tells me there are shenanigans afoot.
Oh, Maybe
a triple threat at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn?
Do you really want to see that? That's my question. Do you really want to see that?
Yes. And the reason why is because I feel like there is much more life left in the top of the card run for Roderick Strong down on NXT. And I feel like Drew McIntyre, for as much as everybody's excited to see him back, I really don't need to see him as NXT champion. I've seen what he can do when his run on the independents, and I saw what he could do when he was in the WWE as the Chosen One. I know what McIntyre's capable of doing. I don't think he's going to be in NXT all that long, to be entirely honest with you, whereas Roderick Strong, I see, is somebody that could carry the NXT brand into the future.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. McIntyre, it definitely doesn't seem to be one of those guys. It's a long stay, and that makes sense. And I don't really need to see McIntyre as NXT champion. I think that's what you're getting at here, too. And I think a triple threat alleviates that. But is Roderick Strong going to hold the title this soon? I don't know. It's Bobby Roode's another guy that I just wonder. I mean, do they even have any interest in him moving him up either? Is he going to be a guy that's going to be kind of hanging around NXT for another year or so, you know?
I've seen people make this prediction before, and I'm going to agree with it. I think Robert Roode, as he was formerly known, I think his main roster debut will be as entrant number one or two in the Royal Rumble of 2018.
Oh, so, I mean, that would mean that it would be the next thing.
That way he can get a full glorious entrance for his Rumble debut.
That kind of excites me a little bit there, Harry. You got me a little excited, so.
That sounds like a personal problem, but we'll go with it.
Hey, it's a glorious personal problem. So, but yeah, no, I think that the triple threat would be fine. I was kind of looking forward to a really great singles match with McIntyre and Bobby Roode. But, you know, honestly, Roderick Strong is great. I'm a fan of his too. So the triple threat would work.
I really enjoyed the Roderick Strong versus Bobby Roode singles match from NXT 401 a couple of weeks ago from the second show that Mauro called. I really enjoyed it personally. I thought that it was very well done. But I think that the way that match came to an end and the fact that he hit the glorious DDT right in front of Rude's fiance is what gave away to me that Rude and Strong weren't done yet.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and there's a lot there. I think the reason maybe I'm hesitant about the triple threat, and this is not about this feud, it's not about anything on NXT. I think it's because SummerSlam has like every match being a multi-person match. So it's kind of like, good God, how much of these are going to watch?
That's fair, actually.
So it's just a little bit of a burnout on the multi-man stuff. So I'm really looking forward to what we get.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of multi-man stuff on the main roster right now because they want to save all the singles matches for bigger moments and stuff. But I think this is an opportunity to have one of those triple threat matches here where it would be a big moment for the brand, though, because you'd have arguably the three best wrestlers on the NXT roster in that particular match right now.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong about that. I trust me. I think it's going to be really great. I really do. And you know, if it wasn't for being like sick and tired of the multi-man stuff, I think I would be super ecstatic. And I think at the end of the night, I will be. I'll be sitting here and we'll be talking about it, and I'll be just like over the moon about it. But right now, I'm just kind of like, okay.
To answer your question, though, as far as what I would think would happen in that match, either way, I still think Bobby Roode walks out of TakeOver Brooklyn as NXT champion because I don't think any of these men are going to be the one that dethrones him. I think the man that dethrones him is going to be the man we're about to talk about next.
Yes. Okay, so let's get into that. So let's go ahead and move on. Hideo Itami is getting interviewed backstage, and they're talking. I know it's not Hideo. I know. I just had to start out with yeah, but Hideo Itami is getting interviewed, of course, and he's just basically saying, I get no respect. You know, that's all he's saying. He wants to sing some Aretha Franklin, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But, you know, he's doing that, and then what is it, Harry?
I can top that with an even better reference. He is the Rodney Dangerfield of NXT.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I get no respect around here, you know? But yeah, Hideo Itami's not happy. And of course, guess what happens in his interview? They have to go back to the ring. Well, he says, no way. He's going to go out himself. So he walks out and goes to the ring with a microphone, continues on with his rant of no respect, tells the audience, hey, you should respect me. You need to respect me. Goes on and on and on. Well, you know, the referee's trying to tell him, dude, there's a match going on about a minute here. You need to get away. Leave. Doesn't leave. So, of course, guess who enters? That's right, Aleister Black. He is here, and he is ready for his match. Hideo Itami is in the way, though. Yeah, that's a little problem. Well, Hideo affects that he's going to leave and then tries to come back. And then one Black mask later, Itami is laid out. And, yeah, Aleister Black sits tall because he doesn't stand after that. So what did you think about this part?
Can I just point out how utter badassery of Aleister Black it was for him to go Indian style after KOing Itami like that?
Like, I love
that was straight up badassery.
You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, we always have Enzo Amore say, I'm the G, I'm the real G. No, no, you're not. I'm sorry. It is Aleister Black. He is the real G.
That was some straight up certified stuff right there.
I love it, man. I have fallen just head over heels for Aleister Black. I mean, this is a guy that just his entrance, everything about him, it just screams just scary, but super talented. Just everything about this persona that he brings into this is great. And, you know, I know his whole Tommy N stuff was a lot darker. Had some things that probably will never reach the light of day when it comes to WWE. But hey, if just a surface character is what we're getting right now, I'm still thrilled about it, Harry.
A couple of things that you could do here with him as well. First of all, I think the one word to describe Aleister Black right now, and it is a word that does not get used a lot when it comes to a developmental, is unique. There is nothing unoriginal about Aleister Black.
Yeah. You're completely right.
He is everything we haven't seen before in NXT, and I think for the company to have been running as long as it has with NXT has, in order to be able to introduce a character that is so new, so fresh, so relevant to the overall product of NXT, is going to do nothing but show off his own individual personality, his own individual moveset, his own individual, the little nuances of things that he does, such as the entrance itself there. The entrance itself is arguably the best in NXT behind Robert Roode's, or behind Bobby Roode's, excuse me, with the catapult that lifts him up from the lying position there. The theme song that he has is one of the best in NXT as well.
Yeah, if not in the entire WWE.
It perfectly sets the tone for what to expect with him, especially when you consider the words of him. For they that truly do good, for they that truly do evil, do things you never thought you could, and we will never be equals.
I love it. Oh, it's so great, isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing. So we're talking about this whole ambience and just everything that equals up to who Aleister Black is, right, Harry? As I watched him, and he was entering into the ring, and this has never hit me until I watched this NXT, and I don't know why, and it's probably far-fetched, and you can yell at me, and you can tell me I'm completely wrong, but I had this thought process, and I said, he's not this guy I'm about to say, but everything you mentioned being everything that's not, it's everything original about him. What'd you say?
I think I know where you're going with this. Can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
Oh, you're going to go with Austin. I was actually going to pick somebody else.
Go ahead.
You know who I actually kind of get the feel for him, even though he isn't the person? He's kind of like the modern era's version of CM Punk.
Okay, I get you with CM Punk, and I understand that. CM Punk did bring something completely different, especially long-haired CM Punk. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on that. You know, I'm going to give you my reasons, and I want you to give me your reasons for CM Punk. Stone Cold, okay. The reason I thought about him was nothing about, you know, him. It's just that he brings to the table just a bad mofo. He's a guy that, you know, when he walks in, he brings attention to himself, not only from the audience, but from whoever's in the ring with him. That entrance is just so great. And then he gets in the ring, and you never know when the black mass is going to hit you. You just don't. It can come from anywhere at any time. And he's a guy that just brings everything to the table, no matter who he's facing, right? I look at that and I say Stone Cold used to do that, right? He would come in. You never know when the stunner was going to happen. What you did know is you were going to have an angry person facing off against whoever they wanted to throw at him.
I could definitely see the comparison there. like with the theme song for Aleister Black and for Austin there, because as the old saying used to go, when you hear the glass, that's your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely get that kind of a vibe as well from Aleister Black for once the for They That Truly Do Good hits. I agree with the out of nowhere finish as well, because of the fact that we have seen the fact that he can hit it from almost any position and lands it with pinpoint accuracy, much the same way that Austin could hit the stunner out of any position. I think Punk was similar in that way, though, that he could land a variety of kicks out of it pretty much any position as well. The only difference was is that Punk's finishing move, the go to sleep, required a little bit of setup in order to get the guy onto the shoulders. The reason I compared him to CM Punk is because of the whole anti-establishment thing that Aleister Black has going for them. He is everything you're not used to seeing in the WWE.
Yeah, you're right on that.
Mm-hmm. The look, the persona, the moveset, the vibe, the sheer, honestly, the sheer charisma of a guy like Aleister Black is not something that you're used to seeing, specifically from a guy that is the size of him, because him and Punk are relatively the same size as well. I believe they're both about 6'1".
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And, you know, the interesting thing is, Harry, we haven't even heard this guy talk as Aleister Black. I know you're familiar with him as Tommy End, so you could give me an education on some of the things that he kind of did character-wise, maybe. But from the little you've heard him in video packages talk, I think that's going to bring something else to the table. And it may match up more with your thought of CM Punk, too. You know, so that's what I'm really interested in.
Yeah, my thought process to it is that he's going to be one of those guys that wants to buck the system, that he wants to be everything that they don't want him to be and stand out as his own unique personality. And I feel like that is the exact niche in which he's going to find himself. He has already developed a fan base for this almost anti-establishment, this almost anti-wrestler thing that he has going. Much the same way when you go back to me, it was really cool for me to see when Heroes Never Die colliding in an NXT ring when it was Cassius Ohno versus Aleister Black, because they used to team up on the independent circuit as Heroes Never Die under the names Tommy End and Chris Hero.
See, and that's another matchup that's going to be amazing when they finally let that go down.
It actually happened on NXT 3 weeks ago, I think it was.
Yeah, he won, but I mean, when they actually make it where it's actually...
Yeah.
Where Ohno's allowed to do more.
Yeah, once they allow Ohno to develop something resembling a personality.
Yeah, basically, yes, that's where I'm coming
as
from.
As decent of, as dependable of a babyface as Cassius Ohno is, he is way better as a heel, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm with you too, because he's so soft spoken. He's almost too sweet for a baby face. I know it sounds stupid, but I always think, man, this guy is too soft spoken. I remember when he used to be a heel. I mean, at least you cared because he was a jerk and he was just arrogant, and you loved it. So,
a lot of that stuff takes me back to like the original Kings of Wrestling stuff with him and Claudio Cesaro, as he's now known.
Mm-hmm.
The original Kings of Wrestling stuff, where they were both just these gigantic jackass heels, it was fantastic.
I hope Chris Hero, of course, Cassius Ohno. I hope he does get a chance to visit back with that heel persona again. I do, and he needs it really badly right now, if you ask me. But yeah, let's continue on. Let's kind of finish this thing out here. We got a match to talk about, and also a debut for a certain wrestler.
Quite the match to talk about too.
It really, really is, and it's because of this guy I'm about to mention. Kyle O'Reilly is finally debuting on NXT this week, and yeah, I mean you knew when he walked in, this guy is someone that we've been waiting for because of everything we've seen with Ring of Honor and New Japan. Everywhere that he's been, this guy has been a lot of fun to watch, a great wrestler, and the momentum keeps going. This match between him and Aleister Black was a blast to watch. So much offense. I mean, for a few moments there, you could argue that Kyle O'Reilly was about to give Aleister Black his first loss. But, Black Mass out of nowhere takes out Kyle O'Reilly. But, man, I'll say this. This was a blast to watch, Harry. I loved it. I love the way they make Kyle O'Reilly look. Just kind of like they did. Bobby Fish got a chance to look pretty swell. against him to an extent, but I mean, Kyle O'Reilly, wow.
Funny that you mentioned Bobby Fish here. It's almost like you knew where I was about to go with this. yeah. for as far as debut performances go, both Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly have nothing to hang their heads about losing to what appears to be the next NXT Golden Child, and now it's their Black. That being said, we were talking about this earlier as far as the NXT tag team titles go. Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Redragon has to be in contention now.
Yeah, but what are they going to call him? Well, that's my question now that, you know, of course.
Very good question, especially since TMDK got turned into TM61.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to be called Dragon Re? Or Dragon Red?
Go sit in a corner.
It's what they're going to throw at you, man. You're not going to be happy with it.
Honestly, at this point, with as far advanced as Bobby Fish is into his wrestling career, I wouldn't be surprised to see them sign over the rights to Redragon for the WWE to license.
I would love that.
It doesn't always happen that people have to give up their names. Samoa Joe is still killing it as Samoa Joe on the main roster.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about it. I mean, Redragon, that's a huge name. It really is. People all over know about him. The merchandise is still around.
Multiple championships in both Ring of Honor as well as New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, very true. You know, and if you think about the fact that, you know, that name is such a big name in the world of wrestling, I would understand why, you know, it would be worth the money and everything that it would take to get that name trademarked and, you know, put in place for them to use in WWE. I think it would be the smartest decision if they made. So let's see. I hope that happens, and that will be a fun tag team to watch against a lot of these other young tag teams and some of the veteran tag teams.
Can I make a bold prediction?
Go ahead.
If they do one this year, Fish and O'Reilly are winning the Dusty Tag Team Classic.
Oh, wow. They'll be favorites coming in. They got to be the favorites coming in.
The only way I could see them not winning is if Shane Thorne's knee is ready to go.
The talk is that they're not doing a Dusty Classic. They're doing a regular just tag team classic.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, hi. The producer of the show tonight.
So I just wanted to say that they'll probably bring in a bunch of indie teams, and you could definitely probably see Redragon together in that.
Okay.
So it's gonna be more like the Mae Young Classic or the Cruiserweight Classic than just the Dusty one, because a lot of people were complaining that it was like just having NXT teams doesn't bring buzz or anything.
So rather than having it on NXT television, do it on demand, similar to how they're doing the NYC.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Oh, so, well, there you go. And that's Redragon, and, you know, let's see if that actually takes place. I think it will, like Harry is saying. But yeah, I mean, I just, we finished this thing out. I mean, what a heck of a match they gave us here. I mean, when, you know, it comes to a guy like Kyle O'Reilly, I think, you know, at least making an appearance here in NXT, what a way to do it. I mean, I think that they just gave his momentum even more of a shot at, you know, continuing on and doing well in this whole NXT environment.
I have a confession that's probably going to surprise you here, Gary.
What's that?
I was not a fan of Kyle O'Reilly.
Really? Wow. Yes. I'm surprised.
I strongly disliked his trainer. I am not big on Davey Richards. I am not especially big on Tony Kazina. I always thought that when it came to Future Shock, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, it was clear as day to me that Adam Cole was the star. That being said, having had a chance to watch him in his teamwork with Bobby Fish, and then getting to see him tonight, Kyle O'Reilly has a new fan as of tonight.
Oh, wow.
Very impressed by what I saw tonight against Aleister Black.
Wow, that is some breaking news there, people. So that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly proving my point here. Kyle O'Reilly is going to showcase himself in this one match, and hopefully build on that as time goes on. I think, you know, if people watching NXT this week, anybody listening, if you don't know who Kyle O'Reilly is, and this is your first experience, what you're seeing is what he's done for a long time. And that's why, of course, I was, you know, super stoked to see that this was the guy facing Aleister Black tonight. I'm really looking forward to the future of those guys. So some great stuff here. And Harry, an episode of NXT I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought they hit on a lot of great things here, and I was very happy with it.
Oh, 100%. Are we actually doing numerical ratings here?
You can. We usually don't, but you're more than welcome to give it one.
I'm actually going to go pretty high for this one. I'm going to give this show an 8.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that.
Between the really good opening match that, as you said, was a very strong showcase for Raul Mendoza, in addition to getting Gargano on his way to a singles career, to two very well-done segments in regards to the heavyweight title division as well as the women's title division, and then a fantastic main event. It was hard to really find anything wrong with this particular episode. The only thing that I would have found wrong about this episode was taken care of in post-production.
Yeah, you're right. And so, I mean, all those points, I mean, are right on cue with what I was thinking as well, you know. So NXT that, I mean, we can hang our hat on and say, well, great stuff. Of course, that means that next week, Harry, that's going to be, you know, probably a lot less exciting. Usually that's the way it works. One really awesome one, and then they take a dip.
Yeah, they usually, for each taping cycle, it's usually two or three decent episodes and one blowaway episode. And I think this might have been the blowaway episode for this particular set of tapings.
Exactly. So, well, there you go, people. That is our NXT review for this week. Of course, we appreciate all of you who've come and check us out. Of course, Harry, you can find him on the W2M Network. That's right. He has his own podcast with Patrick Ketzik called Wrestling Unwrapped. I'll let you plug away on all that content. And just to let everybody know, too, he has become our new co-host for the SmackDown Live and 205 Live shows. I've been loving every minute of it. Him and Sean are doing a great job. So plug away on anything else you want to, or retouch on what I said, Harry.
Well, as you mentioned, myself and Patrick Ketza do Wrestling Unwrapped. Our new episode should be up soon. We just covered PWG's DDT 4 2015. Upcoming this weekend will be the release of our newest episode, ECW's Heatwave 1998, as Patrick and I are going to go back and check out all of the pay-per-views from August of 1998 from the Big Three. We did this back in March for the March pay-per-views from the Big Three, and we're doing it again here in August. And then the one thing that you didn't plug that I will is beginning SummerSlam night, August 20th, myself, Patrick Ketza, and Paul Leeser, W2M's own Paul Leeser, we'll be handling the Mae Young Classic here on the Wrestling to the Max Network here, as we will be bringing our breakdown of Bracketology, where we will give our predictions. And in addition, we will be handling the reviews for the W2M Network for all of the shows that are released on the WWE Network as well.
I am so looking forward to that. It's going to be so exciting, and you guys are going to do a bang-up job. I really am stoked about everything that's going to come our way with that show. It's going to be so much fun. So if you guys want to come check that out when the Mae Young Classic comes, or any of the other shows that Harry is going to be on, of course, myself, Sean, and Paul are always doing the Wrestling to the Max stuff. Make sure you go sign up and subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max, wherever you get podcasts from. And of course, the W2M Network, where you get all of Harry's stuff and our stuff. Go subscribe to both. Heck, I mean, they're both awesome, great channels. Also, don't forget W2Mnet.com. That's a place where we get all that great content as well, plus a lot more. Trust me, great time.
Including written versions of Wrestling Unwrapped, where myself and Patrick actually assign ratings to the shows that we cover on Wrestling Unwrapped as well. One other thing I did want to plug here before we get out of here, W2Mnet's newest podcast, MMA to the Max. Its co-host, Robert Taylor, has also become a full-fledged member of the Raw Reaction now as well. So myself, Robert Taylor, and Tony Acero handle the Raw Reactions immediately following Raw on Monday nights over on Yes Wrestling Radio.
Sweet. So there you go, guys. So we've got lots of great content coming your way. Trust me, all the stuff we're talking about is worth your time. Go check it out. Please do. All right, well, we are done for the night. Once again, thank you to Harry for joining me on this NXT. And, of course, we will catch you guys later on. Peace out.
Have a good one.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.